You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
The Mixing Music Podcast is proud to say that we have a lot of free resources outside of the actual podcast. Visit mixingmusicpodcast.com/links to find access to our free PDFs and free resources.
One, two, three.
Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and with me, as always, the special man of the hour, Lou, the chosen one, Moreno.
One of my golden boy industries.
The chosen one. This is going to be a fun episode because tomorrow, as of today, so actually the day that this episode airs, because we're recording this on Monday, and this episode is going to air tomorrow on Tuesday, is Lou's birthday.
Oh, yeah. I get to say goodbye to my 20s and hello to my 30s.
That's right. So you're turning 30.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do an episode reflecting about your career and lessons that you've learned. And let's even talk about things that you're excited about in the future. Sure. But first, let's do a little bit of shout out to Loughton Audio.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about these microphones?
Yeah. So, one, today we're actually recording our episode on just kind of a funny whim. Like, normally you see people use podcast mics, but I just got back my second Eden from Loughton Audio, which, if you guys know anything about me, it's that my favorite mic to record vocals with is the Eden from Loughton Audio.
Sponsoring the show!
Oh, yeah. They're our sponsor. They've sponsored me as an engineer in the past. They've when I had no other mics I could trust in the studio, they were able to send me out one just to get the project done. I love them to death. I can't say enough about how well they take care of their people. But honestly speaking, we're recording through a Loughton Audio Eden, which is the tube mic of my choice that I really love the sound of. It's got three voicing patterns on it, forward, neutral, and gentle, which I always like to describe as forward is that modern-day hip-hop kind of sound, pop music. Neutral is like that really great, like rock, very mid-forward kind of sound. And I like gentle, especially if I'm doing some soul, like some R&B, some smooth vocals.
So it's like three mics in one.
It really is, and especially if you play with the filter patterns, like you can really get really nice tones. So like right now, both of our mics are set to forward with the second filter engaged and in a figure eight pattern just to make our sound a little bit tighter.
Some nerdy stuff.
Yeah.
It's some good stuff, though. So because of that, because it is Lou's 30th birthday, the big 3-0.
Damn.
I wanted to ask Lou some questions about your past. And it's so funny. We've been business partners for almost a year now.
No, I want to say, well, no, we've known each other over a year, but
we've known each other over a year. We started business in August. So, okay, a little bit over half a year.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. We're old enough. When you get older, you kind of start to realize how pointless it is to talk about your past because there's just way too much of it, maybe.
There's more to talk about when you consider the concept of past versus future.
Yeah, there you go. So, that's a great way of putting it. And so because of that, I want to take this time to basically ask you some questions and kind of give you the opportunity to speak to the audience, speak with me about things that you've learned, things that you've taken away from your career. And starting off with, and I think this is going to cover a lot of different things, so feel free to go on a tangent, but keep it within the realm of music, audio, and the career that you've developed from it, right? And so I guess the first question is, when was it that you decided that music was your thing?
I remember being in fifth grade wanting to attend like a school more related about music because there was an artist named Anthony Hamilton who really kind of stood out to me. And
Since fifth grade,
yeah. Huh. And it was kind of crazy because I didn't exactly know what I wanted to do in music. But all I knew is that something about it just kind of really stood out to me. So then I wanted to learn how to play guitar and things like that. So I really started playing guitar when I was like 17. And my best friend in high school really encouraged me in that. And I didn't realize at the time how helpful that sense of support and encouragement was. My mom actually bought me my first acoustic guitar. My grandmother bought me my first electric guitar, which is here in the studio. It's the purple J Tercer that I hang on the wall. And it's funny, like those serve as like iconic, instruments for the last 10, 11 years as to part of like the start of it all. But I guess you could say I started in engineering when I was 18. You know, my band was making some cool music. I wanted to record it, but we couldn't afford to go to the studio.
So I guess the second follow-up question is, when did you realize that you want to be an engineer? Because I mean, you didn't realize you wanted to be an engineer until 18, but you were talking about liking music since fifth grade. So What made the jump from being a creator or an artist or producer to produce and then, I guess to become a producer instead of a consumer? Not a producer in the musical sense, but I mean like a producer.
A producer of a product.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the crazy thing is it goes back to that whole support system. My friends and, you know, I like to call them my best friends, Chris, John, Kenneth, Joseph.
Shout out to Chris, John, Kenneth, and Joseph.
I like how you got all those names in one shot. Dude, I can never do that. I'm the worst guy. When you meet me at a party, I will ask you your name 5 times. And I will still forget it. But no, it was kind of cool because like they actually, like my friend Joseph and Chris really liked the recordings that I had, but Kenneth and John always had notes as to where they could be better, what we should have done, this and that. And as I started getting better at it, like I noticed that some of my friends were asking me to help them record themselves, and I started getting really nitpicky with myself about like, yo, like I could do this better, I could do that better. And then I started realizing like, yo, I actually have a lot of people asking me for my help. Like I should really try to find a way to monetize this. I took a job at Guitar Center and then I started finding some local clients, like schools that needed like a local engineer to help set up a sound or run a live event or record some, you know, local groups as part of like Battle of the Bands and things like that. And once I realized I was able to do it, like, officially when I was 20, like, when I started getting good at it, that's when I really made the decision, like, I should really pursue this. And I started looking into schools. I actually opened my first studio at about, like, 20 and a half to 21 years old.
That's crazy. So I wonder if this is more of a recent thing. I feel like recently engineers and definitely producers a little bit longer and much more so at that, they've started to become more in the limelight. Mm-hmm. You know, people are really crediting their engineers, mix engineers really hard. People are crediting the producers really hard. I mean, most beats nowadays still have the beat tags on them crediting the producer in the limelight, not just in the back end. Mm-hmm. So I know that the culture has kind of shifted and has been shifted. Do you think that when you got into engineering, that it was still kind of like a pretty niche thing that happens out of necessity? Do you think that your story of coming to find out that you liked engineering was a pretty common story during that time? Or do you think it's still common now, that exact archetype of becoming an engineer, the storyline?
I feel like it's less nowadays than it was before, because nowadays the content creator is praised more than this team behind that content, if that makes sense. You know, it's like saying the boy band, but Justin Timberlake was the one that everybody focused on. You know what I mean? But, you know, engineers not always had a lot of, I guess, light. But you had people like Andrew Shipps, Chris Hordalgi, at least when I started, 11 years ago. It was kind of funny because they were producing my favorite bands. They were engineers who then started producing bands. So the engineers back then that were starting out were really looking to produce. They just didn't really understand, like, the difference at that time when they were starting out. But that's because everybody, when it came down to marketing the plugins, marketing the new instruments, this and that, they'd say, like, oh, so-and-so engineer / producer. But they would always talk about how they engineered the project. They never talk about, like, the role of the producer. But nowadays, you hear people talking about the role of the producer more than the role of the engineer.
Yeah.
So I feel like the time has shifted, you know?
Yeah, I feel like people now get into it on purpose a little bit more.
Yeah, like, they look for the producer role, but they know that they have to learn to engineer to get better at being a producer.
Yeah. And it's so funny, my wife, shout out to her, she's one of those weirdos. First off, she's double weird because...
She chose you.
Yeah, she chose me. No, but she's double weird because she's from Japan. So, like, not a lot of Japanese people listen to American music, at least not as much as she did.
Mm-hmm.
And second off, she's double weird because she was also one of those avid readers of the album.
Covers.
The album covers with the. She knows every name of the producer. Like, she knows who produced which song. With every Earth, Wind, and Fire record that we love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and like, to the point where I should probably be a little bit more ashamed and should know more. but she didn't end up being a producer. And I think that's really cool, but I don't think that's very common. And I think that it's like a pretty cool thing that producers and engineers are coming up and more forward into the scene. Do you think that it's helping engineers and producers? Do you think that it's kind of like benefiting your career that that's happening?
I think it is. I think there's still a long way to go because, unfortunately, the concept of crediting properly is still an issue.
Why do you think that is? By the way, but let me preface this. Lou and I have talked about this before. So crediting means, like, basically being in the album cover, like being in the album cover, or like on the websites when it says mixed by, like, actually getting your name on there. It doesn't mean royalties or, like, getting money from it. It just means, like, getting your name on the record, getting your
being acknowledged for the
work. Why is
that
such an issue, you think?
You know, I'm not going to say which records and stuff because I don't feel like...
No, without getting into specifics, just, like, culturally, why, like, do you think it's so difficult?
I'll give you this example. I've talked to different members of a project where I say, hey, you know, I noticed that everybody else was credited but me. What do I do? And they say, hey, you know, we'll get to it. But to be honest, after the record's released, they usually don't care to change the information. It tends to be an uphill battle because it doesn't benefit them financially to correct an issue that doesn't actually hurt them financially.
Yeah, and I wonder, I think this is also part of the reason. And if you think about two things, articulate this, but one is, I think this goes to show the importance of building a personal brand. When you have enough followers and enough of a brand that labels want to hire you partially because you have a platform to push their artists through.
Exactly.
Right? So I think that's really important, especially as a producer and engineer. And the reason why there's such big producers and people love to hire those producers, I think, is partially because of their social network and their platform.
Well, that's where this whole concept of the tag matters. The reason that you don't see tags in rock music, let's be honest, you really don't. Like, when show me a band that has beat tags on it. That's really weird.
I mean, and wasn't until recently to begin with. It wasn't on most hip-hop in general.
But there was still the shout-outs and all that kind
of
stuff.
Of course, shout-outs, like, but people would not be tags. Like, not
yeah,
the same
not tags,
thing.
Yeah. But the whole idea was this. Like, well, if you now have a platform for it, the producer can then say, hey, keep my tag in there. If you have no platform, they'll just ask you to take that tag out, but... You know, you'll hear, like, OG Parker, you'll hear Murder on the Beat, or Murder Beats, or whatever his name is. No disrespect, I just don't know you too well. But, you know, realistically speaking, like, they have a marketable name. Like, you have to admit that there's value behind the name.
So I think,
you know, engineers don't have a tag, but the funny thing is, you're right. Let's say that a smaller indie artist were to release a song and said, mixed by Tizio, you have to admit, now you're kind of curious, like, they paid money to have Tizio involved. Like, this must be an important record. I have to listen to this record.
And if you don't know who Tizio is, go back to a few episodes before where Lou interviews Tizio. Patrizio is Chris Brown's engineer and
really cool, awesome producer. Guy. He's a good friend. He's a cool hang, you know. So really,
and that was overall, a really good episode.
Really good guy.
Great episode. And so I think there's a lot to say with that clout and being able to leverage that quite right. And I don't think you need to have a huge following, especially within the engineer world. Now, the producer world is much more like you're competing with people that have millions and hundreds of thousands of followers. But in the engineer world, like Jason Joshua has, what, 40,000 followers, 50,000?
Yeah, which, that's
which,
kind
by
of
the
funding.
Way, I want to be very, very clear. I think Gary Vee says this right when he says, you should, for mental health's sake, for all the above, whatever, you shouldn't ever care about how many followers you have or how many likes you get. It's not healthy. But the number of followers is often a good indication of how well your personal brand is doing. Because if you have a lot of clients, if you're doing a lot of work, and if you're serving those around you scalably, like, for example, instead of helping one person at a time, but if you make YouTube videos and a podcast where you're serving thousands of people at a time, it's going to reflect. Your brand, the followers, is going to reflect. So it's not a way to judge someone or determine someone's success, but more to see how well the health of the personal brand. So, I mean, I think that has something to say with engineers. Like, even the big cats are still sub 100, so it's quite easy to compete.
Yeah, and to be honest, world. If you think about it, like, I guess going back to the question, I mean, nowadays, like, if you really wanted to find new clients, you'd rely on some sort of online marketing, social media, website, outreach of some sort. But back when I started, maybe Facebook was an option. Instagram wasn't a thing. TikTok wasn't a thing. Twitter was kind of, but nobody was tweeting how to mix vocals. You know, at least Dave Pensado for Pensado's Place at the start of it. Yeah,
into
possibly.
The layer.
Yeah, Into the Layer.
Into the Layer is a good. But, YouTube, Dave Pensado's Into the Layer episodes.
Those are great.
Really,
they're old plugins. They're still completely usable. And the thing is, he was able to make hits back then, so why does your new plugin matter?
And he does a lot with new plugins, too. I would say he's one of the kings of discovering new plugins. He's always got his hands on.
And he always uses free plugins, too.
Yeah, he's really always learning.
Yeah.
But to answer the original question, going back to why we might think it's so difficult, the second thing is, honestly, I want to say it's difficult to get credited partially because from a higher-up level, that shit doesn't matter.
It really doesn't.
Yeah. And this is one truth that's really hard to swallow, and I don't know if I want to say this, but at the end of the day, us as engineers, no matter how famous we get or how successful we are, I still consider our job to be an advanced, albeit advanced, but still a blue-collar job.
It is. Like, we're paid to do a job. Now, if people want to give us some kind of creative control, that's based on their trust with our side of what we think is good, right? But it doesn't actually correlate with anything to the music outside of, can you make this sound better? We've already created the product. We just need you to polish it. It's like taking, what is that show that the interns watch all the time where they make swords and everything?
They watch a show where they make swords.
Yeah, it's like
swordsmiths
or something like that.
I need to hang out with the interns more often. I did not know that was happening.
Yeah, they watch it on a regular basis.
That's
amazing. They pretend that they're the interns at the ironwork. Yeah,
we're gonna. That's an intern day off. We should do that. We should go to a blacksmith and do a day off. Hey, by the way, this is a shout out. You want to intern for us because we do cool stuff like
all the time.
We talk about how we're gonna do cool stuff. That's what we do. We talk about.
We don't actually do it. Just so you know.
We need to do sumo wrestling at the beach. That's what we need to do.
I mean, don't get me wrong, but I think I'm the biggest guy at the
No, no,
studio.
Dude, size don't matter, bro, because I can use your own weight against you.
I'll just sleep on you.
Oh.
I'll be Snorlax.
What is that? That's Jigglypuff. Jigglypuff does that. Ooh. Nels does that to me all the time in Super Smash. I don't even know what the move is. She doesn't even move.
It's up B, then to a down B, and then ching, you're out of here.
That's right. But
you know, it's kind of crazy. I guess the biggest difference maker nowadays, because I know a lot of engineers do a lot And then there's some engineers that are just pretty much get it done mixers, you know? Like, I just beat your rough mix. That's all I did. You know, I didn't add anything to it. I know you tended to add a lot of creativity to it. I'll do it once in a while, but a lot of times a lot of my clients know what they want out of the record. But the funny thing is, back then, it wasn't a matter of, like, how much clout you have. Nowadays, you could just DM somebody from another country and be like, hey, I'd like to work on your music. You know, but I still really like the in-person approach.
Of course. And I think that's why there's a lot of... there's a lot of reason to move to bigger cities for exactly that reason.
Oh, yeah.
But going back to you, the star of this episode, and... throat fart.
It's a laugh fart.
There you go. But I wanted to go back and go back into this in the sense that I wanted to ask again, and I'm sure that your answer will differ every time, but for today in this moment... what do you think you would tell yourself at the age of 2021 when you started your first studio, when you started deciding to go professional with this, right? What kind of advice would you have given yourself? Would you like to give yourself at that time?
Go to every studio with your resume in hand, even if it's blank, and ask, how can I help you? I don't need anything in exchange other than the ability to learn.
So... I want to ask this carefully, but you and I both are pretty wildly different in the sense that we have not interned for any huge studio engineer, yet we've had, relatively speaking, wildly successful careers.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any sort of regret in that decision, or do you stand strong with the fact that that was also a good decision?
I believe it to be both the reason I succeeded and the reason why I failed. The reason I succeeded is because I pushed myself to get to this point. Nobody told me, hey, you need to go back and keep reading up on these microphones, reading up on how these components work and how these components differ from those components and this and that. Because let's be honest... I maybe have that conversation with five people in the last 10 years. Nobody really cares about that stuff, but it made me the engineer that I am now, which is very knowledgeable, know about my products. I know how to build and design studios, which I've thankfully been able to do.
Deep and broad knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
Resilient as shit.
But you know what I didn't get out of it? The ability to socialize with a lot of people. Mm. I'm already a very, I wouldn't say antisocial, as you've said it before, like... when I meet new people, I tend to be pretty social, but I'm not necessarily the first person to walk up to somebody and be like, hey, I'm Lou. Like, I did that starting out my career because it was
cool. But that's how you met me, is you walked up to me, bro.
Hey, man, you were already there.
That's true. You were kind to me. You were kind to me.
You're like, person. This
guy's one lonely looking mofo. I'm going to talk to this guy so I feel better. Like, I've done my service for today.
Exactly. Watch this. So, with that said, at an early age, we said this earlier, you brought up how our brain stops really being a sponge at about the age of 25, 26.
People are already starting with the happy birthday text.
It's really weird. I had to make a post like, it's coming from the computer.
Let me mute the computer real quick, but keep answering the question.
Okay, so the big issue that I had or have of why didn't I intern? As much as I probably should have. Like, I always tell people, like, an internship is better than school, and yet I went to school.
And we also both didn't finish.
Yeah, exactly. Like, technically, you know what's sad? I walked my stage.
You did?
Yeah. I just didn't complete my lab hours, apparently.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
I kind of accidentally... slap my professors across the face because I quit after getting accepted. So they basically helped me fund my Mix with the Masters program.
Nice.
Through like scholarships. And it was really dope. I mean, it's like one of the only times that they've ever accepted scholarship funds to pay for the program. Like, so it's like, whoa. I was one of the first college students to ever do it. But more importantly, I quit as soon as I got back from that. So I was just like, thanks for all this money. And just left.
Yeah, but think about what you learn as an intern in the studio. Like, let's take Danny, for example. Danny is one of our longest running interns who's been here for, 6 months? I want to say about there.
No, since the beginning.
No.
Not the super beginning. No, it's about 6 months. You're right.
Yeah, it's been about six months. And the funny thing is he came in with no knowledge of Pro Tools, just, what was it, Ableton? And even then he had like a trial version of Ableton, I think. But the funny thing is he now knows the culture of how to talk to clients, how to move throughout a session, how to actually properly prepare a session, how to act professional around certain types of clientele, how to speak to management versus creatives. He's learned a lot about the professional side of the industry that even though he may not have the technical side perfectly down yet, he's already a whole step ahead of most people that don't have an internship because they take their first session in a big studio and they act like they're still recording in their bedroom.
Mm.
How many times have we had an engineer do a trial session with us? And my first complaint is, wow, they are the most unprofessional people I've ever met. Like, I don't ever want to hire those people again.
It's something to be said about.
Yeah, the internship really teaches you how to socialize in a professional environment filled with creatives.
I have the next episode's topic ready to go. Now you just triggered a really good memory of mine.
I say write a good conversation.
Yeah, I'm gonna write it down right now.
Because knowing us,
we're gonna forget. But I wanted to kind of finish up this episode with asking you. Honestly, Lou, a couple things. What are some of the things that you've been most grateful for in the last 10 years of your career?
You know, there's a lot of people that I'm really grateful for.
People, and, experiences, things, anything.
No, exactly. But it's funny because I can tie all my success to one person. I've said this before. And it was the first person to really give me a real professional shot, and it taught me what it meant to be business partners, to work with artists who you honestly believed in versus financial choice artists. His name is Goldie. He's part of the MeFly team. I was working with like him, C-Dub, Good Book, and Pitt a lot. And the funny thing is that
Goldie's
I was working
really
at,
cool.
Yeah, he's come around.
I've had the pleasure of meeting Goldie as well.
Yeah, and the cool thing is that along that time, like, I've been with Anna throughout the entire time of my career. She really stuck around. She gave me multiple options to focus on my career and leave our relationship behind, but I really couldn't, and she stuck by me. I got to the point where I focused so hard on my career, I almost hit 300 pounds. I'm gladly about 40 pounds less now. But the funny thing is she never left me once, and she was a huge support in my life, and I can't thank her enough for that. I'm glad to be engaged
Anna's
to her.
Yo, Anna's a goat.
She is a goat. Bye. my friends from my bands were a huge support and everything. So the funny thing is, like, I'm really proud to say that I had a support system that I never really fully acknowledged. Throughout my 20s, like, I did acknowledge that it existed, but I didn't fully understand how important a support system was. Like, in a lot of, like, I'll give you an example. Like, there's this guy, London. He built studios for, like, Yanni, Chris Brown, and all of them. And he would actually take me in, not really knowing too much about me, just off of recommendation and everything, and gave me a chance to really show people who I am as far as, like, a studio designer and an integrator. And because of that, I was in the room for, like, Chris Brown, Trey Songz, Keish Cole, let me see, I've done, honestly, he's done a lot of studios, to be honest. I can't name them all. But because of that, he gave me a shot to be in front of these people. And because of that, I've been able to work directly for, like, Nick Cannon, Trey Songz, and all them.
I think that because, I mean, you've introduced me to Nick as well, And I will have to say, his skin is as smooth in person
as it
looks on TV. It's kind of like weird how smooth his skin is.
Yo, Nick is a really healthy dude.
Yes. Like, I think my baby has more wrinkles than that guy does.
No, but yeah, man, like, it's crazy. Like, I don't think if there's anything to learn from my 20s, it's that really appreciate your support system. Like, you don't really know who's out there supporting you until it's been like a year later and you're like, wow, I really wouldn't have been here without that.
Yeah, and honestly, I kind of wanted to end this episode with this. saying that I want to say this, and regardless of your birthday, I want you to know, and I'll do this in public too. I try to say this in private, but that I think that you are one of the most honorable and respectable people, friendly, open, optimistic, especially in a world in LA where it's very easy to get screwed over, where people are coming, flying into LA, transplanting into LA with the mindset of being willing to take advantage of everyone to get to the top. And you've lived through it all, and you've probably gone through a lot of crap, and yet you still have, you are one of the most grateful people I know, optimistic people I know, emotionally, like, people cling to you. You're very magnetic. You're just emotionally stable. And I know that's really weird to say because we're also emotionally just all over the place.
Yeah.
But from an outside perspective, you are very emotionally stable. You're someone that is just glowing and magnetic. And I really, really cannot express enough how much your business as a partner, right? Your friendship as a business partner. Beyond that, as a friend, last week was the last week before my family finally moved out here. And it was 4:20 and I just wanted to watch a movie. And I know you did this on purpose, and you tried to play it off because you're the kindest motherfucker I've ever met. But you decided to stay and hang out at the studio, sacrificing some personal time just to watch the movie with me because you didn't want me to be lonely. And like, I don't know anybody that would do that. And usually, especially with business partners where it's more of a professional relationship, like, that is something that is inhumanely kind. And there's a video that I was watching the other day, and it was talking about the reason why humanity has progressed and continue to move forward, and the really the only thing that Homo sapiens have been able to do that has really triggered the growth of culture, society, is kindness, the ability to be kind at a fuller, deeper level. And I think it's because of people like you that the world is able to move forward and to progress. And happy birthday, my friend. Like, honestly, I love you like a brother, and I'm really grateful for you, and I'm tearing up. This is really sad. But for real, though, like, you deserve everything in the world and more, and I'm always here for you. And I think that everybody who's listening right now should go follow at Midside Sound on Instagram and on TikTok, because he makes some funny-ass TikTok sometimes.
Sometimes. I may wear a towel as a wig.
No, but yeah, I am grateful for you, and you've taught me a lot. So
yeah, let's. Thank you.
I'm gonna do a one man applause for Lou.
I'll do some snap.
The chosen one. And let's hear it. Happy birthday, Lou! There we go.
That was so loud; they were screaming into my ear.
Hey, but on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
1, 2, 3.
There are so many amazing free plugins available for download right now to help you with your production and mixing. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/plugins to download and get access to a bunch of free and premium plugins on Plugin Boutique. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.